passionate instigator, and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one ohm at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to challenge everything, everyone. We like to get people thinking behind the box, being willing to peek behind the curtain, and we like it when they share with us what they think is a load of crap going on in the world today. Speaking of that, sharing, that is, not the load of crap. Remember, this is a live call-in show. So you can call in at 202-570-7057, 202-570-7057. For those of you who have missed the opportunity to be here on a first Thursday of the month, then it will be a real delight and treat to know that on this, the first Thursday of this month, like every month, we have none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can hear Matt Monday through Friday, 4 to 6, at WMNH 95.3, Manchester, New Hampshire. You can also go on to the web at ipmnation.com. You can listen to him. He also has a live call-in show, and he has some pretty lively callers because I have been a guest on that show. And I say this every month, and every month Matt says the same thing. I say, and it's been a long time since I've been on, and he says,
"Well, you're welcome anytime, Dr. Kevin."
Yep. And one of these days, I'm going to get just slightly a little less busy, and I'm going to make it over because I always have a good time on the Matt Show. Whether it's just Matt and I, or whether I get to make fun of some of his guests. How is Jim, by the way?
Jim O'Connell?
He's one of the ones.
He just won his election here in Manchester. He's now on the school board.
Oh, saints preserve us. The school board will never be the same.
That's true.
You know, he'll probably bring back nuns and habits. So Matt and I always put a little political twist on the first Thursday of the month because Matt specializes in politics. So we have him on the show because even though this is considered a spiritually based show, though some days it's just a show full of spirit, we really believe in the importance of being aware and participating in our political system. If you don't show up, like at the voters booth, if you don't show up, shut up is my motto. You have no opinion in my mind. I don't want to hear it if you can't show up and vote. So, Matt, how are you? What's been going on? I know it's been a slow, deathly slow political news cycle in the last month.
Oh, I know. I keep waiting, hoping for something exciting to happen, but it's just like it's so humdrum, as they say.
Yes, yes. So I do have to tell you what I did last week. And then I want to find out what are your hottest topics, your hottest stories that have been trending in the last several weeks. Some thoughts on it, share some ideas, and make sure. I have two topics besides talking about last week's show briefly. I have two topics I want to cover. One is definitely about evangelical crystals, Christians. you like that? I think I'm going to start trending with that. I've started using it in Facebook posts. I actually had to respond to somebody who posted this really awful article by, I think it's called AFA. And I said, about Target. Yeah, we'll talk about that actually, is the whole Target thing, the Target store. I said evangelical, spelled E-V-I-L, evangelicals. But now I just call them evangelicals because I just think it's a much more appropriate term.
For a second there, I thought perhaps you had gone dyslexic.
No. I just turned the N over and made it into a V because it was just so much more appropriate.
Oh, okay.
I mean, think about it for a second.
Yeah.
I'd like to turn their N upside down. I'm doing a few other things with it. So anyway, that being said, last week, because it was Halloween, I did a ghost show. All I did was tell ghost stories, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
And share some stuff. Yep, real life ghost stories, ghosts that I've cleared, stuff like this. For any of you who are interested, you can go to the Old Times Library and find my live show. Becomes that a podcast, and you can still download and listen to it if you like a good ghost story or five. But for the first third, and this is what I wanted to share with you, because it was Halloween, I decided that my hot under the collar, my hot topic should be about trick or treat. And that on this day, October 31st, we had both a trick and a treat. We had the trick, or the beginning of the trick, of that we had been tricked for 3 years, and the treat was that the impeachment was becoming official. And that was my trick or treat gift for everybody on October 31st. What do you think? Was it a good gift?
Yeah.
So, Matt, stepping right up to the plate, what have been the hot topics on your show, Mr. Politics, Manchester, New Hampshire?
Well, you know, today, actually, I was talking about not something directly related to impeachment, but I don't know if you're aware, but apparently Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III is going to run for the Senate again from the great state of Alabama. And I'm excited to see how the dynamic between he and Trump plays out with that, because, you know, as much as I'm not a fan, I don't know if you've noticed, as much as I'm not a fan of President Donald John Trump, I also find Jeff Sessions to be particularly detestable and a sociopath, in my view. And so one of the few things I did enjoy about Trump while Jeff Sessions was his attorney general was the way that Trump would sort of publicly torture Sessions through his tweets, you know, talking about how disappointed he was in his attorney general and so forth. I actually enjoyed that because I think that Jeff Sessions, whom I believe to be fundamentally evil, deserves whatever public humiliation he is bestowed upon him. So it'll be really interesting to see how Trump reacts to, you know, if Jeff Sessions is the Republican nominee in Alabama. You know, will Trump go to Alabama and put everything behind them and campaign for him? Or is he still holding a grudge over Sessions recusing himself? You know, what exactly happens there? My hope is that Trump will go right back to saying terrible things about Jeff Sessions, because, again, that's one of the few features of the Trump presidency that I approve of, is saying terrible things about Sessions. But I'll be interested to see how that plays out. And of course, yesterday, and I think the day before, we were talking about Sondland, Gordon Sondland, Trump's unofficial ambassador to Ukraine, really is just his ambassador to the EU, but who is also involved in Ukraine. All of a sudden, remembering a bunch of details that he didn't quite remember when he initially testified, and having to revise his testimony. And it's funny how that happens when, you know, you testify and then other people testify and their recollections of things are different, and you realize that you might be vulnerable to being charged with perjury, and all of a sudden you remember all these new details that you just couldn't quite remember before. Also, what's fun about Sondland is, you know how he got the job, right? He donated $1 million to Trump's campaign. So he basically paid $1 million to be a part of this mess. So that's kind of a karmic kick in the teeth.
He might be kind of sort of questioning his ROI on that investment at this point.
Yes. It certainly brought him a lot of stress and strife.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I think that so there are just so many fun things going on today. It's even hard to keep track of them all. But yeah, I did know about the Sessions thing. I did know that he said he was going to run. I read a little blip, but I didn't get a chance to read it very far. I have been, and I, this is not a complaint because I love it when I'm busy, but I have been crazy busy between teaching and clients and stuff like this. So I'm not being able to keep up quite as much as I do sometimes on the sideshow circus that we call our U.S. government political system right now. But the little thing that I read, but I didn't get a chance to read it all the way through, so it might have been an assumption piece. And, of course, in this day and age, you can't tell the difference anymore until you really get into it sometimes. But this is just my opinion. Well, you kind of did make it sound that way the whole way through. Just saying. Was that Trump already made it clear that he was unhappy and was going to be promoted. He was going to be looking for somebody else to actually make sure that to run against Sessions to make sure he didn't become the nominee for the Senate thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't even know if what Roy Moore's plan. I know Roy Moore was rumored at one point to be running again, but of course, excuse me, they were trying to talk him out of it because of how that went the first time.
Oh, there you go, Roy Moore versus Jeff Sessions, and who is Trump gonna support?
You'd have to stay out of that one. You'd have to wait and see who the nominee is.
Devil of the Deep Blue Sea. Well, that's what a logical person of right mind that has any political acumen will do. We're talking about Donald Trump. None of those adjectives described Donald Trump.
Right.
So I don't know what he's going to do, but I can bet that he won't keep his mouth shut if it comes between Roy Moore and that. And, of course, you know the press is not going to let him get away with not commenting. They're going to ask.
Yeah.
They're going to ask repeatedly. It's too good a show.
Yes.
Go ahead. So, now, of course, I get a big kick out of the fact that Mike Pence, hometown, went Democratic for the first time in 44 years. What do you think? Is that a commentary
Dr. Kevin,
on Pence?
I lost you just for a second. You said Mike Pence what for the first time in 44 years?
Mike Pence, hometown, went Democratic.
Oh, I did not realize that. What is his hometown? I mean, obviously he's from Indiana, but what's his hometown?
I'm going to have to look it up to tell you the truth because I read the article, but I can't remember what town it was. It's one of the bigger Indiana towns, but I can't remember. It's not Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So I'll have to look it. I'll have to maybe on break. I can see if I can pull it back up. But yeah, I just read it was just a big headline, and I read a little bit of it that for the first time in 44 years. They went Democratic, and I went, oh, that's kind of telling.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, Matt Bevin went down in Kentucky.
Do you really think that that will have any reflection on whether – I mean, hasn't Mitch done too much for Kentucky, even if it's not been all ethical and legal, for them to ever get rid of him?
Yeah, I think so. There was a candidate, I forget her name now, but really gave Mitch a run for his money at one point, but she couldn't get it done. And I remember at the time thinking, I wish I could remember her name because she was a great candidate. But I remember at the time thinking, if she can't do it, nobody can. There's a sports radio guy in Kentucky, and I can't remember his name either, but he's talked about running against him. Because he thinks he can take him down, but no, I mean, he's, pretty hard to stop, old cocaine Mitch or, Moscow Mitch or whatever you want to call him.
Moscow Mitch works for me.
Yeah.
Well, I think that one of the, Amy McGrath has got some cred. I mean, she's decorated Air Force, and, you know, there are some problem spots there. So, I mean, the Republican Party cannot have liked this last election. I mean, they lost Virginia. They completely lost Virginia. Lost the governorship of Pence's. And of course, you know, so they've got to be taking this as a sign that they may have to shift some of their thing. Or do you think that they're just going to stay in illusion land?
No, I don't think they're going to change it. I think it's easy to kind of overstate that. I don't think they're panicking. I don't think there were enough elections yesterday to really be a strong indicator as far as where things are headed in the macro. I don't think they're too worried about it.
Okay. It's Columbus, Indiana, by the way.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, Columbus, Indiana, for the first time in 44 years, went Democrat.
Oh. Well, that's it. Well, good for them. That's interesting.
Yeah. And there is the music sound saying we're taking our first break. When we get back, I do want to talk about some of the impeachment stuff going on and what your take is in, and what are you seeing that I'm not? Because you always see something I don't. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show with Matt Connerton.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. This week, as I always do on the very first Thursday of every month, I'm on with Matt Connerton. Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, 4 to 6, Monday through Friday at 95.3 WMNH, or you can go to IPMNation.com and listen to his live drive time show. You can call in I've never called in. I've showed up. I've been a guest, but I don't think I've actually ever called in. But you can call in and be part of his conversation. He is not exclusively politics. Sometimes he goes into other absurd areas of the world, but he mostly stays in the absurd area of politics. And we like to have him on once a month to just find out what Matt's seeing and noticing that we're not, because Matt is definitely much more of a political animal than I am. Though I think that's changing, Matt. I'm not sure that that's as much of a true statement as it used to be. Yeah, I think I'm probably getting closer to your level of political. I'm not sure.
Okay.
We'll find out. I don't know. So Matt, we're talking about what's been going on since we last talked last month. We've talked a little bit about what I'm calling the small blue wave that just happened. And I do want to remind people, this is a live call-in show, and you can call in at 202-570-7057. I can't believe I just did that. I did this whole like my brain just went on break for a minute. Maybe I need a vacation.
Maybe you do.
Or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin. At the very top of it is today's show, and you can write comments on that, and we would be more than happy to bring your comments as long as they are respectful on air with us and share your comments that way. So you can call in, you can Facebook in, actually you can even tweet in if you tweet in at Web of Light, WebOfLight. I will see that and get that as well. So I will be checking all those places for any questions that you may have. So Sondheim, I'm not pronouncing that right, correct?
Sondland.
Sondland. Sondheim is the Stephen Sondheim. He's the musical guy. Sondland. So Sondland is basically cutting his losses and running, and his memory is improving, and he is at least throwing some part of Donald Trump under the bus. Am I reading that correctly?
I'd say that's accurate. Yeah, that's a good read on it.
Okay. Who else is throwing Donald under the bus? I mean, I want to be able, I need to know who to send flowers to.
Right. We've got this Vindman guy who's, what is he, a lieutenant colonel? Vindman? There's so many characters, it's hard to keep track of them all. But he's throwing Trump under the bus, and of course Trump is attacking him. Always a little tricky when you attack a distinguished member of the military. Not everyone's going to go for that. Although enough Republicans go for it.
Well, but, you know... because I know that there is some, I've got a poor, unfortunate, Kool-Aid drinking, deluded member of my family who was all for Trump because Trump was going to take care of the military. And of course, you know, he's taking care of the military like he's taking care of everybody else with a screw job. But, you know, I haven't talked to him since the whole, you know, deciding to screw over our allies and give Putin more ground through Turkey, or this trying to trash this general. But I can't imagine his military stand together, blah, 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 blah. I can't imagine that that's going over very well with him. Do you think that the Trumpers are just going to ignore that, or do you think it might actually shake a couple of them up a little bit?
No, the Trumpers will ignore it. No, there's nothing they won't ignore. It's a cult. They are hopelessly devoted to him. It is, they'll never say it out loud, but it's Trump over party. It's Trump over country. It's Trump over everything. Literally. I mean, it's the most astonishing example of mass hypnosis in the modern era. And no, they're, will dissuade these people from, their unquestioning devotion to their Lord and Savior, Donald John Trump.
I mean, like I said, there's even Republicans now trashing Vindman, a man who is, you know, is saying that, well, his saying things like, well, maybe his allegiances are with Ukraine and things like that, because I guess he was born in Ukraine or something. So, you know, it's incredible.
He was born in Ukraine, but he came here as a very small young child, I believe. And of course, he's a decorated military thing. And now they're saying, you know, some people are even trying to say that he's a double agent. And I'm like,
oh, right.
Please.
Yeah. But that's the world we live in now.
Okay. Well, some of the Republicans, I mean, Mitch came out and made a statement about that. That they were not going to assume that anyone that was speaking up was un-American or something. It was a kind of
that's
cryptic,
good.
But,
that's good of him.
Yeah,
said,
but,
that's
you know,
good
that
of him.
That's kind of a cryptic, ever so slightly hedging his bets, because you know, if he thinks the Trump thing actually starts to go south enough, Mitch will be leading the way to throw Donald under the bus. I mean, if Donald Trump doesn't think that Mitch McConnell will throw him under the bus in a heartbeat. You know, nobody thinks that Mitch likes Donald. He's just given Mitch more power in an odd way.
I'm sure they all secretly hate him. He's made life secretly very difficult for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, Lindsey Graham has come and said that he won't even read the report. He will not even read anything about the investigation.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't want to be exposed to anything that might cause him to question daddy.
Yeah, yeah. There's a Hoosier daddy relationship if I've ever seen one.
Well, these people are pathetic. Lindsey Graham and all, I mean, they're just pathetic.
Well, it's interesting because you have a respectable person of color that's running against Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. And of course, I've said before, if, you know, it's not very likely you're going to bump Lindsey out. But if anybody was going to, it would be a respectable, moderate, centrist, you know, enough of the conservative side of the views person of color, it would be someone that could give Lindsey some kind of run for his money in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, South Carolina, I think, went for Barack. I'm pretty sure. But anyway.
Mm.
What's your take? Because I think we all know this is going to end up in the Senate. There's no way he's going to make it through the House without formal impeachment charges happening.
Right.
Yeah, agree?
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. I was going to say in the Senate, they'll acquit him.
Now, Chief Justice John Roberts gets to be the ringmaster running the show. Am I not correct?
I believe so. I think that's right. I'm trying to remember exactly how it worked with Clinton. But I think you're correct.
The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court runs the trial.
Yeah.
And has a fair amount of power. The Senate does the vote, but the justice runs it to make sure that it's done at the standard it needs to be done at to be considered legitimate, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your take on Chief Justice Robert? Is he going to be, do you think that he is more of loyalty to party or loyalty to country?
He may actually, just based on some of his decisions, he may actually have some integrity. I say may, and I say that cautiously. I don't know that he has or has not fallen under the spell of Trump. But I mean, in the end, it's not going to matter. The Senate Republicans will acquit Trump no matter what. So, you know, hopefully, Justice Roberts will conduct himself impartially and honorably. But in the end, I mean, it's not going to matter. I mean, they're going to acquit him, and that's been that's why I think Nancy Pelosi was so, you know, until she couldn't resist anymore. That's why I believe she was so resistant for so long to even doing an impeachment inquiry. I mean, after the Mueller report, there's 12 examples of obstruction of justice there. You could have impeached him just on that. You didn't need this whole Ukraine thing. But I think she was so resistant because she knows as long as there's a Republican-controlled Senate, he'll be acquitted. His base will be more energized than ever because he faced down impeachment, and he'll go on to win a second term. So, this whole situation is so awful because not only do I think that he'll skate by this and not suffer any consequences for anything, but even if he did and he was removed, then we end up with President Pence. And I think even an evangelical as president is even more dangerous than Trump, because evangelicals believe that Armageddon is ultimately a good thing because that brings about the second coming of Christ or the rapture or whatever the hell fairy tale these people believe. So they're even more dangerous in a sense. So the whole thing's terrible. We're in an awful situation, no matter how you look at it.
Well, you know, the reason I question about Chief Justice Roberts is that, you know, one of the places where some Democrat just won, and I can't remember which one it was because we did just have a small blue wave in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It was a small blue wave, but it was still saying that, you know, like Trump's popularity in the suburban areas is going down. But one of the things, because, you know, also, what was it, Kansas dumped their Republican governor, male governor, for a female Democratic governor. And that hasn't happened in a long time either.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there was a net gain of several governorships in the Democratic thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one of the ones I was reading, and I can't wish I could tell you which one it was. But it said that an area that Trump won by 30 points in 2016, that in our last year's election, it was a very small margin, and in this year's elections, the Democrat beat the Republican that Trump endorsed.
Mm-hmm.
But he took that district by 30 points when he was running for president. His endorsement couldn't get his candidate to win now. So I think,
yeah,
I know you've got this very solid, that it's as if Trump supporters are all one block of one mind, and if you add them all together, you might hit something on the IQ score of around 50. I know you have that.
Correct, yes.
Yes. I just don't think it's all solid. I don't think it's a solid one piece. And I think that there are peel-off layers. I think that there are people that, you know, for any number of reasons really thought Trump was going to do that. His absolute core, that's not going to change. But I think his core is smaller than you do. I think there's his core, and then there is his, well, we're going to stand with him by through so much stuff. And then there's, but I, we know that he's lost a lot of the independents at this point, are not in his favor. And we know that some of the polling numbers are, I mean, some of the numbers that we're seeing on the polls and a variety of polls are saying that people think that this impeachment, at least the impeachment trial, should happen. Like, they want to know what happens. And those increasing numbers tell me that core may not be as solid as he thinks. And I've seen, and I have you read the article about it was the people that stayed home that helped get Trump elected? If they all show up now, he might not have got elected the first time.
Right.
So I don't know. I refuse to buy into the pessimism that we have just enough people in all the right places between the Electoral College and gerrymandering that he's a no-brainer in for four more years. I just can't quite be that hopeless.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
Well, you know, we'll see. So what are the other things? Let's stick with impeachment for a second. What are the things that came up in the impeachment most struck you? Because I also just read an article or an interview by the Ukrainian side that said that they absolutely were discussing that it was quid pro quo and that they were debating on what they could wiggle out, and they had negotiations going on of what he would accept for being said in the CNN interview in order to release the funds. I just read that today.
Yeah.
Have you read that?
I haven't had a chance to really read that yet, no.
But you know the one I'm referring to.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I don't know. I mean, they're in a tough spot because they don't want to upset Trump because they don't want any more interruptions to the funding. But also, too, I mean, they don't want to go necessarily all in with Trump because what if Trump loses and we have President Biden, and then the Ukrainians have to deal with President Biden after all this?
I'm sorry. I'm sure you misspoke. That's President Buttigieg.
Ah, yes.
Buttigieg.
Right.
Yeah, you had to be right, but, you know.
Oh, well, oh okay, yeah. Had to be right. Okay.
On break. I'm going to go.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times this week, as we always do on the first Monday. I'm changing the day of the radio show, Matt, just so you know.
I'm going to miss it next week.
The first Thursday of the month. I'm sure at some point in the 14 years I've been on that I had a Monday radio show. Well, there was that period where I had a radio show 5 days a week, so I had to have had a Monday radio show.
Yes.
So we have Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed on 95.3 WMNH. His Matt Connerton Unleashed drive time show from 4 to 6 in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you are not in air distance of Manchester, New Hampshire, you can always listen to it online live and still call in at ipmnation.com. Is there a backflash I should put there or anything, Matt, or just send them there and they'll see the click through for your show when it's on air?
Yeah, they'll see it. They'll see it when they go there.
So, as always, Matt and I kind of discuss what's going on in the political thing. So what else stood out to you about any of this impeachment stuff? I mean, we now have confirmation coming from the Ukraine that it was clearly a quid pro quo, and there was negotiation. That was the word in the article. There was negotiations going on of how little they could get away to say to have Donald release the funds to them. And I know you would don't think this is going to make any difference, but
no.
But what else stood out to you about these testimonies? Has anything else stood out to you? Has anything else been like, oh, that might change a mind or two? That might rile somebody up, besides trashing a well-decorated military person.
Yeah, well, you know, a thing that has very much stood out to me through all this also is how much of our foreign policy seemed to be being run through former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, who is not a government employee, who holds no position in our government or in the administration, who was never confirmed by the Senate for any position. He is Donald Trump's personal attorney, apparently, to hear him tell it. But he works for free, even though somebody has to be paying for him. But this individual who is never confirmed by the Senate seemed to be the one running our foreign policy as it pertains to Ukraine. And that is astonishing to me. You know, and also, too, I mean, you've got Sondland, who is actually the ambassador to the EU, but he somehow ended up being sort of the also default ambassador to Ukraine, even though we have this other guy, Bill Taylor, who's supposed to be the ambassador or the acting ambassador. But it's all going through Rudy Giuliani. Who appointed Rudy Giuliani to anything? And yet, apparently, he was running the foreign policy in Ukraine. Even Mike Pompeo had to defer to him to an extent when it comes to Ukraine. And I think that's astonishing.
I would agree that that is really astonishing. And I would think questionably legal. I would think that they have actual laws about or something, or am I just completely crazy?
This administration doesn't care about any of that. I mean, we live in a lawless age now. Like, I never knew, honestly, I never knew until the Trump administration that if you receive a subpoena and you don't want to testify, you just ignore it. Say, I'm not going to comply. I don't feel like it. And apparently that's acceptable now. So, I don't think the administration particularly cares about any legality as far as Rudy's involvement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the goal is that he's going to tie all of this stuff up in the courts until after he's out of office. And
right.
It's too late. He's done the damage he's going to do. Of course, he just did get hit with the fact that he has to pay $2 million to a number of charities because of the money that was accepted, the raise was used for campaign stuff and was being run by his campaign, not by his nonprofit. Did you
right,
see that?
Yeah. Just some, oh, yeah, yeah. Fraud there.
So I'm sure Putin's going to be getting called for a loan.
Yeah, it's no great surprise. None of it's a surprise, that's for sure.
Now, I want to go back to something we were talking before. The reason that I think that what I was asking about Chief Justice John Roberts and where you thought his integrity lied. Now, wasn't he the one that when he didn't vote the way Trump wanted him to vote on something, made the comment, I put you there and I can take you away, until somebody had to tell him, like, actually, you can't. Was it that? Because he did that to one of the Supreme Court justices. It was, and I know it wasn't Kavanaugh.
I know Roberts. There's at least one instance, and that's why I say Roberts might have some integrity. I know there's at least one instance where he hasn't necessarily voted the way Trump would have liked, but I'm not aware of that comment. But that's interesting if he said that.
Yeah, it blew up, and then of course, you know, the cycle goes so fast these days, and he says so many stupid things, and he lies about so many stupid things, and he mispronounces, misspells. I mean, you know, it's hard to keep up with them all.
Right.
But I remember that because I got quite the chuckle out of it because Roberts voted against the administration on something, and then Trump made some comment about he just better watch his place. I put him there and I can take him away. And then, of course, everybody jumped on it. Like,
right.
You actually kind of lose that power.
Right.
and, you know, there's one thing to be that they're part of this whole Federalist group that's trying to really jury-rig the country to be pro-wealthy and pro-business at the cost of the average American and blah, 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 blah. It's another thing to think that Trump is a demigod. And I don't think that either Brett Kavanaugh or Chief Justice John Roberts thinks that Trump is a demigod. I just don't think they're that stupid.
Right.
I don't think they drank the Trump Kool-Aid.
I hope not.
You know, but the reason why I was wondering is if Mitch tries to rush it through and get it off the table, of course, there's that whole strategy of he could drag it out a little bit because then that ties up several of the 2020 candidates because they have to be there for it. And, you know, that might help, you know, throw a wrench in the Democratic race for nominee. But if Roberts doesn't let the Senate, if it makes it actually behave at least until it votes, that's going to be all over. I mean, that's all going to be aired live. That's going to be seen by lots of people. And again, if there are any of those people that are starting to get faintly nauseous at their Trump support, and, you know, I think there's always a few, you know, actually hearing witness after witness after witness say it, no matter what the Trump, what it does, could affect some of the ways that they vote in 2020, both for Senate and for president. And any races that are at all up in the air or have any margin of error, if the Republicans are saying really like completely stupid things that can be used against them in ad campaigns in that, that's what I'm saying. I think depending on how Roberts does it, if he actually makes it a real trial, it could have some effects.
Yeah. I think the strategy, based on everything I've read recently, I think the strategy, though, that Mitch McConnell wants to employ is to do this as quickly as possible. Like, once it gets to the Senate, you know, do a quick trial, do a quick acquittal, and then on to the election. But
yeah. Well, and I don't know how much Roberts will be able to affect that. As the person
right.
who's actually running the show, he may have a varying degree of the ability to not make sure it gets done half-assed and run off stage.
Right, right.
If he actually makes it go and makes it actually be a real trial, McConnell might not get his way. And, oh, that just makes me cry big crocodile tears. Oh, Moscow Mitch.
Right, yes.
So, I know you've got to be off in about 3 minutes, if I'm correct, because I know you said you had to, you're doing a special show at 7. So I just want to also make
that
sure
is correct.
That we're both staying aware of the time.
Yep.
So that you can hop off and do what you need to do. So anyways, so I've started a new battle on Facebook.
Yeah.
What's new? I refuse to call them pro-life anymore. They're not pro-life.
Yeah.
No, they're pro-birthers.
What are they?
They're pro-birthers.
They're pro-what?
Birthers.
Oh, okay.
Birthers.
Yeah.
B-I-R-T-H-E-R. Birthers. They're pro-birthers. Because there is a consistent trend among quote-unquote pro-life people that they don't want to pay for child care programs. They don't want to pay to make sure that the kids are getting something to eat. They don't give a shit about the kid's life once it's born. They just want it born. So they're not pro-lifers. They're pro-birthers. Their whole thing is that that kid gets born. But I think it's time to challenge the fact that if they were pro-lifers, they would be pro-education, they would be pro-daycare, they would be pro a minimum wage that pays enough that their parents can afford to, you know, make sure that they've got enough of the good, right kind of food to eat and have a decent home. There's a whole thing. There's a whole set of criteria that – that in my mind would have to have the checklist checked off before you can call yourself a pro-lifer. So I wanted to throw out, it's my kind of my new thing is, you know, evangelicals and pro-birthers. So I just wanted some comments, some feedback, and I'm also starting a couple of petitions. And if we have time, I'll tell you about them because obviously I'm going to send them to you to sign.
I gotta go. It's about five of, and I gotta go get on the air for my special at 7. So, I will have to hear about the rest of that later on, Dr. Kevin.
Matt, well, thank you as always.
Yes, thank you.
Unless I tap you before then, I will expect to see you, to talk to you the first week of December and, have a good Thanksgiving and give my love to Miss Jenny.
I will. You got it. All right, Dr. Kevin, thank you so much.
Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye.
And that was Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. He has a drive time show from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday on 95.3 WMNH. You can listen to it at IPMNation.com. Where you can listen to it online if you don't live in the Manchester, New Hampshire greater area, and you can still listen to it and you can still call in and offer your opinion. So as we're wrapping up today's Dr. Kevin show, and we have a few minutes left, I want people to start to hold people accountable to their words. I think that, you know, there are a lot of concepts out there and we let people misuse words and their actions are out of integrity. For some reason recently in my Facebook, and again, you can make comments about today's show or look at past shows or things like this on Dr. Kevin, on my Dr. Kevin, MyDrKevin. When you're there on the page, make sure you like it because I'm a likable guy. But that we need to stand out and challenge sloppy thinking. We need to point out the realities instead of some of the fantasies that we let people get away with. You know, there was the whole thing that somebody on my timeline, and I have people of all diversities on my timeline, and I say as long as it's respectful, I've had to unfriend a few, I've had to block a few. That always makes me very sad, but only because they were just so openly insulting to me or to somebody else posting on the line. That when they couldn't come up with an answer, all they could come up with was an insult. There was no debate. There was no actual thing. They were just accusations. And they were mean. And I won't have mean people on my timeline. But I had somebody that posted about that Target has started coming out with a lot of pride stuff to support LGBTQ young adults and also children of LGBTQT parents. They have T-shirts that say, I love my two moms, I love my two dads, a lot of pride stuff. And they're donating $100,000 to more education of both gender and sexual orientation diversity to help support better education. And a website, I think it's called AFA, which is very evangelical or evangelical, as I like to call it, Christian, who wanted everybody that was a Christian to boycott Target because they were promoting our kids to be gay. Well, obviously, if you read the article, they're not promoting the kids to be gay. They're supporting gay kids. They're promoting gay teens. They're promoting people that are living in a gay family to say it's okay. You don't have to be ashamed. You shouldn't be bullied. You shouldn't be humiliated. You should not be suffering because you have two moms or two dads. And there's a huge difference between supporting and promoting a lifestyle. Our sign is coming up, but I want you to start listening to what people are actually saying and hold them accountable to their words, especially when they're out of integrity with their actions. Henceforth, evangelical non-Christians is probably the more accurate term. Namaste and have a good week, and we'll see you back here next week on the Dr. Kevin Show.